And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you. Don't forget, check me out online at jeffchittister.com. That's jeffchittister.com. That's where you find the podcast of all the shows that air during this Sunday hour. Also, don't forget, a newspaper article, you can catch it at seacoastonline.com, seacoastonline.com. Or if you like to feel paper between your fingers, you can pick up Foster's or the Portsmouth Herald. And also, you'll find my email there. So if you want to go ahead and reach out to me about a topic you'd like me to try to write about, I would love to hear from you. Continuing with the show also, don't forget, next week we're going to be talking about the USS Squalus and all the great stuff that went into actually bringing that ship back up in 1939. So it's a nice little piece of history about Portsmouth, and we'll be joined by Sue Polidoro with that as well. Great show today, and we're just going to go right to the guest. Lexi, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Lexi, who did you bring with you?
I brought my dog, Petey, a.k.a. Peeball the Meatball. He's sitting right here with me.
How's it feel? You think about all your accomplishments, Lexi, in life, all of them, you know, just being a superstar and rising through the ranks of real estate, and you get a dog, and he becomes the most famous part of you.
Yeah, I mean, people are definitely happier to see him than they are me when I walk in the office. It's kind of like, oh, hey, Lex, Petey!
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, thank you for that. I have accomplished a lot, you know, being 38.
And we're going to talk about that. We're also going to figure out how Petey came into your life. We're actually going to do a show on that as well, because it's always nice to have a dog. But we'll post pictures up of Petey as well. Nick Mirabella, how are you?
Doing great, Jeff. Thank you very much for having me. Honored to be here and great to be in studio.
It's great to have you. And so real quick about Nick, and we're going to let him explain himself a little bit, but he has the most awesome title ever, Chief Inspiration Officer over at MassPay, which focuses on workplace culture and employment engagement. That's what the text says, but it's far more than that. So real quick, how did I end up meeting Nick, and why is Nick here? For most of you who know that in my private life, I am a director of training, so I like to run around the country and basically try to train people on leadership, on culture, and things like that inside of the workplace. And so Nick was delivered into my office one day by another leader within my company. He says, hey, you've got to go see this presentation by this guy named Nick. And once again, I was listening to him. I was like, oh, here we go. Another feel-good, mushy little thing that I've seen hundreds of people try to do, and they're more motivated about making money out of the process instead of really inspiring. But lo and behold, that's not you, Nick.
No.
So on LinkedIn, you can find, I wrote a nice little review for Nick. I have given 5 recommendations.
That was pretty incredible. When I saw that come through notification on my LinkedIn, I was really honored by that, Jeff. That was very cool. That was a very nice recommendation.
So let's talk a little bit about...
I'm only 1 of 5? Is that what you just said?
I've only given 5. I give a lot of endorsements, but I've only written 5.
Wow, that hits the ticket.
I hadn't written one in about 2 years. So it was really pretty impressive. So let's talk a little bit about how you got to this point, and what do you try to accomplish when you go into that room and you have these teams in front of you? Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about you, Rock, how you managed to build this thing up over the years.
Sure.
And then what the goal is.
Mm-hmm. I guess I've, throughout my whole life, I always had the desire to inspire. I love people. We all have our own
story.
Yeah, we can rhyme. Yeah, why not?
But
we're in studio, and I thought I'd throw a little rhyme on the mic. But I love life. I love people. We all have our own story. We all come from different walks of life. And is there a chance where I can be in a room and inspire or lead or help and really boost people's self-confidence? I guess if I had a magic wand and if I could do that, it would be great. Just to let everyone know to really believe in themselves. One thing I said that day, too, to your group is, I get it. Life is hard. So let's not be so hard on ourselves and really truly believe in yourself. And I guess it's a dream I had back in high school that I always wanted to start my own business before the age of 30. And so here I am, 38, feeling great.
Yeah, 38.
Yeah, 38. Lexi, when you said that, I was like the same age. Fantastic. But I started UROC is the name of it. The full name's UROC Marketing, because marketing and motivation is a big part of my background and career. I did sports marketing and family fun entertainment marketing, which was like Barlin Bailey's Circus. I did PR and marketing for that. Blue Man Group. We worked at a place in Philadelphia that had all these different concerts and shows around the Philadelphia Flyers and Philadelphia 76ers. I helped out with their marketing teams, but also I was on the complex marketing. So anything that came into the complex, it was myself and 7 others, the 8 of us, to market, advertise, and promote. So as my career actually started in minor league baseball. Excuse me. So as I kind of went through the grind and climbed the ranks and learned a lot of different great mentors and leaders, I had the passion to, you know, go back to my alma mater and give back and make an impact. And it was St. Joseph's College in Maine, small school up in Maine. It was only 1,000 students.
Yeah, real small.
Right on Sebago Lake. And I got a chance to be the director of student activities and student development, as well as assistant baseball coach. Baseball's a huge passion of mine. I played 4 years of college ball, D3 level, but then to go back and coach and be with the legend, Coach Will Sammore. He's been there about 26 years. And I started working with these students. It was fantastic. And I saw that we had a good thing going. I had 12 students that were the resident advisors, sophomores to seniors.
And it was so now you're a leader.
Yeah,
so you've got these young minds in front of you.
It was pretty cool. And then I guess, and I'm getting to the journey of UROC. So the 12 of us had to lead and motivate and keep the 300 students in these three different res halls, you know, engaged on campus, staying there on the weekends, doing stuff, and whether it be community service, keeping up with their grades, and also giving them career path and career advice and making sure they were working with their advisors. So that was a really excellent, I mean, I had 1 hour a week to lead a meeting with the 12 of us and then, you know, on weekly doing activities. So eventually I said, okay, I need something else to spark their interest and to motivate each other. I want to have that peer recognition. I want them to look at each other as leaders. So taking a walk on the shores of Sebago Lake, if you will, I found this really cool rock, this really cool stone, right? Good size, and it's like the size of a small dinner plate, this stone. So I took it to a stone sketcher right off campus, and they engraved the letter U, and they painted royal blue because that was the school colors. So I had this U rock, and I said, okay, we're going to do this U rock award. It'll be like the student of the week or the employee of the week. And I had the team write little mini paragraphs on each of their peers. If they exemplified something that went above and beyond, went the extra mile, why don't they read it out loud at the next meeting, and then we'll give the UROC award to that student. And then you would see the students' faces light up when they got the UROC award, and they would take this heavy rock and they put it in their dorm room on their coffee table, carrying their backpack or bringing it around campus. And I said, I think I got something here. And we did that for about 2.5 years. And I said, if I ever take the leap into entrepreneurship before the age of 30, which was actually 29, I started it, and I started this company. I moved to Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It's a great entrepreneurial spirit here in this mini city of Portsmouth, and I began UROC. And the whole preference of what was my vision was, I guess, to go to colleges around New England and do UROC talks and to inspire the teams. And that started in January of 2011, and then it started to snowball into UROC workshops and working with local businesses, which you happen to have with your team. It was the vision board workshops.
Right, and we'll talk about the vision board here in a minute. Once again, we're talking to Nick UROC. All this information is going to be up on our Facebook pages, my personal Facebook page, and also the radio station's Facebook page as well. So if you're driving down the road going, this sounds awesome, and you want to reach out to Nick to kind of look at your teams and how to inspire them, definitely go to those Facebook pages, and we'll make sure we have that contact information up there as well. He's on LinkedIn as well, so a great business outlet. So Lexi, I'm going to bring you in here for a second to talk a little bit about Nick. So here you are in your office. Now, your office sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk so fondly of the two women who founded this company and lead it and stuff like that. Sure. And so one of the things I find fascinating is how do they inspire you guys? Because we're going to bring Nick here in a minute.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I've actually been thinking a lot about this lately because culture is something in an organization that you really can't, read a book and manufacture. I think right. It starts from who they are as people. You know, they tout that they want the right people on their team and their company. And, you know, for them, it's not just, you know, top producers, although we have, you know, a lot of great agents from a real estate perspective, but they're good people. You know, they want people who genuinely care, that are authentic, that, you know, bring something. And I don't even think that they, you know, did it by design. I think they just, you know, I think that culture comes from the top down, mm-hmm. and they just emulate this genuineness. And, you know, I got to be honest, they've metaphorically slapped me in the hand a couple times when I say things, and they're like, Lexi. And I'm like, no, you're right. So they're almost like my little Jiminy Cricket. Janet Sylvester, I'm talking to you if you're listening to this. She's had to she looks at me and is like, I'm like, okay, you're right. So I think, they just lead by example, and everyone just, you know, I wrote a post on Janet Sylvester not too long ago where her energy is like being wrapped up in a blanket. You know, she just feels warm and you want to be around her. And I think energy, you know, I'm sure Nick can attest to this, you know, people feel energy. So whether it's negative or positive, right. You know, negative, you instantly don't feel good around someone, but positive energy, you just want to be around that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Janet Sylvester and Margaret Pesce look for people when they bring agents on. And we're not a huge brokerage. They don't want to be a huge brokerage because I think they lose that feel of culture.
Correct.
It's been something that I'm really fascinated by because I have a master's in organizational leadership, and I just think that they've done a phenomenal job building their team. And again, I don't even think it's, you know, they didn't set out with a vision board and being like, oh, you know, we want this amazing. I think they just organically built it, and it's a magical thing.
We're going to bring the concept of the vision board. So Nick, once again, you rock. So this, you were telling this story of college. And the thing that I liked about your story is that the task at hand to get this rock was for you to look at the people around you and look to their positive qualities. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that and where oftentimes managers versus leaders don't really see that. And how the vision board starts coming into play on that.
Sure, sure. It actually sums off a little bit what Lexi said there about energy. It's like I guess life advice I always gave to those students and give to others, and I continue to have a steadfast approach in my own life, is to eliminate yourself from negativity. And I always tell people, you have to surround yourself with positive people, positive places, positive things. And that was a big part of it. And so when we do these vision board exercises, I have to give a shout out to Ed Garrity, who is an incredible leader and motivational speaker. He speaks at all 50 states multiple times a year at all different schools. He goes from classroom to boardroom. It's pretty incredible for the companies and schools he spoke to. But it was back in 1999 that Ed Garrity inspired me. I was in the auditorium of 250 students, and he's talking, he's a motivational speaker, but he's also talking about the last 20 minutes of his speech was surrounding yourself with positive attitude, positive things, and visualizing those positive things. And he challenged all the students in the auditorium that day to create their own vision board. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat like Pavlov's dog. I'm salivating. I'm all jacked up from it. I'm like, I got to do this. So I literally sprinted to the dorm room, room Standish Hall 309, and started flipping through these magazines, starts making this vision board of the things that I wanted to create and generate in my life throughout my college career and then after. And then throughout my career, I've continued to do a vision board and really visualize my goals, put them down on paper, have a plan, have an idea, and you know, try to make that happen. And so that's certainly been a part of it. So when I saw how it worked for myself, and then I started, well, why don't I teach and coach others to do this and motivate and inspire others to do this? So I started incorporating the bread and butter of UROC, and then it's morphed into my, I'm very fortunate, the full-time position I do at MassPay as the chief inspiration officer, where I do vision boards with our team members there.
That's an awesome title.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Really, I got to give our CEO and founder, Jason Maxwell, created that, invented that title. We were the first, I think the first company on the East Coast under 100 employees to have a CIO in that realm. But it's been fantastic. And so I started, UROC's bread and butter was UROC talks and vision board workshops. And that's what your team got to do. And I was just psyched to be able to do that. And I just love when you can get people. And the great thing is it's a team environment, really good collective positive energy that takes place, but also your individual inspiration, because you're on your own creation station. You're not looking at everyone else's board. You just kind of zone in and focus and laser focus on your future. And
it felt really, it felt like a lot of the sessions I used to have when I was in the military. And so once again, guys, we're talking to Nick, UROC. You can get his information. You can also search out UROCmarketing.com, UROCmarketing.com. If you're sitting here listening to this right now and you're trying to figure out what activity can I do with my team that really makes it a team, takes the me and flips the M upside down and make it a we. What can we really do? I have to tell you, it was jaw-dropping when I came out of that room, Nick. And I don't say that lightly. I'm a hard person to push into inspiration.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I had that vision board. It's in my office. I look at it. But what I came out of that more, Nick, is that I was watching the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching people who kind of were dragging their feet coming in the room, kind of like in themselves,
apprehensive.
Not sure what this energetic young man is just really going to teach us.
Not to mention I decorated the room, too.
You decorated
a colorful.
The room. So explain the goal. So now we have leaders, we have managers now listening to Nick saying, why should I bring Nick into my office and do this for us?
I think it goes back to, we talked about culture moments ago with Lexi, is having engaged employees and having them know the purpose of what they do for that company, but also giving them the purpose and passion that they want to do in their individual life. I think we all probably spend more time with our work teammates than we do with our regular family. You know, 40 plus hours now, people are working 56 hours, you know, but there's long work weeks. Might as well, A, enjoy the people you work with, B, enjoy the place you work with, but also let that workplace environment, let your employer be a vehicle of your personal passions and ventures that you want to go on to or want to achieve. So you can let your employer be that vehicle to help you achieve your personal dreams, whether it's eliminate debt, whether it's purchase a new car or go on vacation or start a family, whatever that may be, but utilize that. But I think as employers, there's a responsibility to give your employees that purpose, that passion, that energy, that culture. And not to make another rhyme here, but I recently read that culture, the best way to find, I thought, was it's how we act, how we think, act, and interact. It's really the people that in your office. So when you do a vision board workshop, and I have quite a few next month, which I'm really excited about because MassPay, all of our HR clients, they now get the CIO on call, and we get to do culture nice. Engagement with the employees. So I have a fantastic, like we have a 50-person team that I'm working with in a couple weeks that we're going to sit around and we're going to do the whole vision board workshop for them, and they're going to walk out of there with their dreams in hand. But the feeling is you're engaged during the whole process. It's probably about anywhere from a 2.5 to 3 hour workshop, so a little bit less than half the day. But your team is going to be engaged the entire time. It's going to feel an empowering feeling, and then you're walking out of there inspired. And I make sure that, especially when I'm doing it in a workplace environment, I'm working with different C-suites and CEOs to, I guess, convince them if I have to on why this is such great exercise for their team, is the fact that there's a nice blend of personal and professional goals on this board. And it's something that they're looking at and they're visualizing and can kind of manifest that in today.
And we've talked about future. It. Once again, Nick Mirabello, urockmarketing.com, urockmarketing.com. We keep talking about companies. I don't care how big your company is, how small your company is. I don't care if you're a charity or a nonprofit. I sit on nonprofit boards. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we lose our vision. We're a collective that come together once a month.
Right.
And this would be an awesome exercise for your nonprofit as well, especially when you do a board changeover. Mm. Bring them into a room and let them think to themselves why they're doing those kind of things.
Absolutely. I've been blessed to work with a lot of different charities here on the Seacoast. That's been fantastic, and they really enjoy that. So, yeah, giving back to them, of course, just to get the team together, because those folks work so hard. They have their other full-time jobs, and then they're probably running this nonprofit on the side. But to bring a team together, the camaraderie that happens, the chemistry, and then for everyone to have that purpose, that plan down on paper in a very creative way. You know, I've always learned throughout my career. It was back in 2004 where I learned it, and I took very seriously. So you put it down on paper, it becomes reality.
And it's perfect. So, you know, and fastest 20 minutes ever. People are always amazed how fast this 20 minutes go by. And I know you guys listening say, geez, it's already over. We got 2 minutes left, Nick. Kind of end with kind of that final thought for people listening about, you know, really how valuable it is to inspire your team.
Sure, absolutely. First and foremost, believe in yourself. I've always said that, and that's where I led and got to meet Jason. And back in 2016, he made me the full-time chief inspiration officer of the company. And then my job was to motivate, celebrate, inspire our team internally on a daily basis. And I just walked around the office and got to know the team members. So first of all, get to know your team members. Get to know the people that are working day in and day out so hard for your company, and then find out what makes them tick, find out what makes them excited, find out what they're passionate about, what their plans are, what's their vision, what are their personal goals. I think having employees' personal goals is just as important as their professional goals, and they're more likely to hit those Q1, Q2, Q3 quotas if they have also a company that has their back going for their professional goals. So if you want a place that has engaged, inspired, driven employees that feel that their company is taking care of them, that their company cares about their personal life just as well as their professional life, then it's a no-brainer. It's a really good time to be together and put ideas out on paper, put a plan down on paper, and have a great time doing it.
Outstanding, Nick. So, Nick, thanks for coming in. We're going to have Nick on anytime he wants to come on, because we'd love to have you talk more about just generally how to inspire your teams. So, once again, urockmarketing.com, urockmarketing.com. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it is feel good. It's not mushy feel good. It's positive feel good. It really is. If you're looking at your team thinking, how do I get them from point A to point B, Nick made a really good point. Get to know them. and then you'll know why they want to go to point A to point B for you. And so what we're going to do, and right next to you is Lauren. She's going to be coming up next.
Hi, Lauren.
We're going to talk about N68 Hours 100. Once again, an organization I've been trying to get on, and I'm so thrilled that they're on today. We're going to talk about an event they're going to come up, but I'm also going to share with you what their mission is. And it's so vital when we think about our communities and things that we try to do to make a positive difference in our communities. The just awesome work you guys are doing. So we'll go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue that conversation all next on New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition.
I keep my hands on myself. Keep those